You're listening to audio from New Life Church in Decatur, Georgia. For more resources or messages, check out newlife-atl.org.
As I said, today we're going to read from Isaiah chapter 55. And we're actually going to start reading at verse 1. We're going to read the whole chapter, but we're going to focus on just a few verses. But before we get started, just to get your mind thinking about the subject matter, I have a question for you to think about. And I imagine that as I ask this question, I think I already know what some of you would say. Well, the question is, why is it that as human beings, we eat and drink? And I can imagine that the first thing that pops in your head is probably because we're hungry and thirsty. And actually, when I thought about the question, that's the answer that I would give to you too. But I recognize something that for me and for most of us, there is something else that's at work that probably has much more to do with why we eat and drink than our hunger. It's something called our appetites. See, while hunger is your body's physical need to eat, you need to eat food and you need to drink water. Appetite, on the other hand, is your desire to eat and your desire to drink. And the reason that I think that it determines more of why you eat is because your appetite determines what you eat. It determines how much you eat. It determines when you eat. And for way too many of us, your appetite determines why you eat. And so as we move through this message today, I have a couple of other questions that I want you to think about. What is it that you hunger and thirst for? And just how is it that you're going to go about getting those needs satisfied? Today, we're going to talk about hunger and thirst. And as we look at this passage of scripture, that's exactly what the Lord is using the prophet Isaiah to talk to the children of Israel about, their hunger and their thirst. As we go to this passage of scripture, though, there are a few things that I need you to see as we approach it, because you always want to place a text in context. This passage of scripture was written by the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah was active for only about 60 years, yet this book covers things that transpired over 200 years. If you read from the beginning, you see that he begins to prophesy about the children of Israel and the way they've fallen into idolatry. And he tells them that if you keep this up, that God is going to allow you to be taken into captivity. And in fact, during Isaiah's lifetime and time that he was active, the northern kingdom actually fell to the Assyrians. But you also see in this book that wrath and justice of God, meaning that I told you this, and if you don't obey me, I'm going to do this. But there's also in this same book that transpires over 200 years, this beautiful picture of grace and mercy. And I love it because it shows us a perfect picture of who our God is. God has standards. He has expectations of his people. But he knows. He knows that we are dust, the psalmist says. And so he went ahead and he rescued our lives. He provided for us in advance that thing that we were going to need when we fail. And this book of Isaiah captures that. The other thing that we're going to see is that Isaiah, he wrote this book with some purposes in mind. He wanted to warn them that if you obey what God says, he's going to do this. And if you choose not to obey what God says, he's going to do that. He also had in mind that he wanted to give them hope. Because as time would have it, as the people of God would not obey God, they ended up in captivity. But God understood that from the front end that was going to happen. And so he sent his word ahead of them so that when the tough times came, there was going to be something here to give them some hope. And then the third thing that Isaiah had in mind when he wrote this book, or the Spirit of God that moved him to write this book, is that he wanted to prepare them that when you go back to this land, there's some things you got to know so that you'll know how to be my people and allow me to be your God. Now, I can imagine that as we read this scripture, that when Isaiah first wrote this, that the people that were alive probably, it didn't mean that much to them because at that time they had not fallen. But as we read this passage of scripture, imagine that you're in exile in a strange land and you need to hear from this God that you've heard so much about. So let's start reading at verse 1 at chapter 55 of Isaiah. And so it says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for what is not bread, and why your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. For indeed I've given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. So seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the fields shall clap their hands. See, instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. So I can imagine that for the children of Israel that might have been reading this passage while they were in exile, they would have needed to be encouraged, for one, that God really does keep his promises. But they also would have needed to be instructed as to who God was requiring them to be. And so I want you to look at, we're going to really spend our time on verses 1-4. If we go back up to verse 1, it says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts." Whenever you see hunger and thirst in the Word of God, what is really indicating is a basic need. And so what the I almost want to say the psalmist, what Isaiah is saying, or what God is saying through Isaiah, is that, see, I understand that as human beings, you have a basic need. See, the truth is, everybody needs God. Christians don't just need God. Non-saved people need God. Because truly, Jesus is the answer for the world today. There are so many things that are in this world that can distract you and can make you believe that your life is, as my granny would say, hidden on something outside of him. But not only because of the fact that you got an eternity that you got to do something with, but even your life here on earth is made better when God is the center of your life. See, the Bible says that we were all born with this God-shaped void. You know, Augustine says that we were born with this God-shaped void. So the truth is, no matter where you go drinking and no matter what food you eat, unless you're eating of the proper food for you as a human being, it's just not gonna satisfy. And I believe that that's sort of what God is getting at as he's talking to the children of Israel. He says, everyone who thirsts, I'm asking you to come to the waters. And then you who don't even have no money, I have food that you can eat that you don't even have to pay for. And then he even goes on to say that not just that I'm going to meet your basic needs of food and water, you can even get wine and milk. And when you think about wine and milk, what that's indicating is a little bit of abundance. See, God wants to take our lives not just for meeting your basic needs, but Jesus came so that we can have life, but to have it to the abundance, or so it can be full and meaningful. I don't know if any of you remember your BC days, like before you came to Christ, and if you were old enough, how you find yourself doing stuff, like you may go out and you go out and get drunk, and then the very next day, whatever you were trying to escape is still there. Or you get to the point where there used to be this song that said, I'm so tired of bawling, because at some point it just kind of wears out. The high that you get or the enjoyment that you get from doing these frivolous things, they get to the point that they don't mean nothing to you anymore. I think that's what he's kind of indicating, that you've been living your life and trying to do your thing, and so you know and I know it's just not working. So what he's offering to them is this idea of coming back. And here's the thing, it's almost like a relationship reset. Because with God, he's in relationship with them now. They're way down the line from their father Abraham. And you guys remember that that's when it started. That God went to Abraham and said, Abraham, I see you. And I want to make you into a nation. I'm going to make your name great so that through you, all the people of the earth were going to be blessed. Well, you do understand that there was nothing special about Abraham, right? See, God did this because he wanted to build a people for himself. And so what he's offering to these people that have now been dispossessed from their land, they're living in a strange land, he's offering them a relationship reset. And so he comes to them in such a loving way when they don't deserve for him to do this, but God, in all of his loving kindness and his mercy, he doesn't want this relationship to remain fractured or to stay strained or for his people to be estranged from him. And so he comes to them and he offers it. And then notice what he says, that it's open to everyone. So he's not choosy and selective like we are. Like even when we come to church, you sit around and you look, I'm not sitting next to that person. I'm not sitting next to that person. I'm gonna go and sit next to this person. God extends this offer to everyone. Well, that might not mean too much to y'all, because I can understand that some of y'all probably was raised the right way and you probably had a few means growing up, but not me. I didn't have very much going for me when God found me. How about that? I didn't bring very much to the table, but God extended his own love and his grace and his loving kindness towards me. And what he's saying to them is, I'm going to give this to everyone because I understand that even though you don't know, I know you were made for me. You were made for me. And then look at what he says in verse 2. He says, why do you spend your money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? This to me brings in this whole idea of appetite. Because see, all of us are hungry. It's really up to you what you're going to fill it with. And so obviously what they've been doing is not only have they been eating and drinking stuff that they won't satisfy, you also are paying for it. That to me is like paying for a high-priced meal that gives you a little morsel of food and it don't even taste good. It seems to me that that's what he's indicating, is that I can tell you're hungry because I see the results of it. I see all these receipts that you've been to this restaurant and that restaurant and that restaurant, but you also come home and still eat. It looks like you're spending your whole check to pay for something that's still not giving you what you need. And so he says to them, he says, listen, I want you to listen carefully to me. And my invitation is to you is for you to come and eat what is good, what is adequate, what was prepared with you in mind. That's what I'm inviting you to do. What I'm offering you with to have for me is something that is so valuable and is so enjoyable and is made just for you. Come, come, come. And then look at verse 3. He says, I want you to incline your ear and come. If you hear me, your soul will live. If we just stop right there, what that indicates to me is that obviously whatever they've been doing is not conducive to life. You think about this whole idea of hunger and thirst and eating and drinking. Many times we fill our things, we fill our bellies with things that's not life producing. It's the difference between sitting down to a meal of Whole Foods or going to a drive-thru at a fast food restaurant. Either way, your belly's gonna be full, but the nutritional content of what you get makes all the difference. And it looks to me like what he's saying is what you're spending your time on and what you invest in your life and what you're making important, what you're causing to sustain you is really not what's best for you. But if you listen, if you heed what I'm saying, you can come and have what is good, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Now remember, these people are in bondage right now. They've been dispossessed from their land, living at a time, even in a land where somebody else is ruling. And I can tell that God knows that because look at what he says. He says, I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. And I believe that when he puts that in there, what he's doing is he's reminding them of the Davidic covenant. Now, the Davidic covenant said that God was going to cause a descendant of David to always rule on the throne of Israel. Well, at this time, that is not their present situation. Because they're dispossessed in a land, the only king they see is this Babylonian king. But God is trying to whet their appetite. He's trying to get them a little bit interested in this meal that I want to give you. See, I remember what I promised your father. And even though it don't look like it, and even though you may not remember, I remember that you were made for something better than this. I created you that you and I could be in relationship together, but not just relationship, covenant relationship. That covenant relationship meant something. Somebody had to shed some blood in order for that covenant to have been cut. And if you read through the Abrahamic covenant, you understand that God really cut that covenant with himself. Abraham just got to come along because generally in the covenant, you got something you got to do and I got something I got to do. But God in his mercy, he cut a covenant with himself and we get to be the benefactors of it. So what he is doing here, he's begin to woo them back because he understands that when you get back in this land, unless you get your mind right, you're going to end up in the same place that you are today. So he begins to help them get that mind change so that they can enjoy what he's planned for them. He's dealing with their appetite. And as I thought about this, it reminded me of as if I had invited one of my children over to dinner. See, I have young adult children who all work, bless the Lord, and they all have their own place to live, bless the Lord. And so it's as if I understand that you don't have very much money, and I know for dinner today that you plan on going to the drive-thru. But what I want to do for you, instead of you spending your $10 on that supersized meal, instead what I want to do is I want to prepare a meal for you. So in preparation of this meal, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get in my car and I'm going to drive over to your DeKalb Farmer's Market. And I understand that since this particular child loves salmon, what I'm going to do is I'm going to choose some sockeye salmon. Not because that's the only thing there, because it's fresh, it's in season, and that's what she likes. I'm not even going to get the farm-raised sockeye salmon. I'm going to get that wild-caught. Because I know that even though it costs more per pound, it's not going to have those hormones that can come from a farm-raised salmon. And then on top of that, I'm going to buy that salmon, and then I'm also going to get some spinach. That's organic, and that was picked at the peak of its freshness. I'm going to add with that some asparagus and even get some organic brown rice. And then I'm going to get back in my car. I'm going to go home. I'm going to prepare all of this food, and then I'm going to call her and invite her over. And what I'm going to say to her is that $10 you was going to spend, you ain't even got to bring that. Because I went to work. I got my check, I went to the bank and I cashed it. And then I took my money and I spent about four times as much as you was gonna spend to buy this meal for you. And all you gotta do is come over here and eat it. Because child, you were made for this sockeye salmon. You was not made for that triple at McDonald's. And even though both of these meals can fill your belly, that meal you're gonna get from McDonald's, what it's gonna do is in the processing, it's been devoid of all of its nutritional content. And instead of nutrition, it now has fat, it has calories, and way too much sodium. But if you sit down and eat this meal that I have prepared for you, what you gonna get? You gonna get some iron. You're going to get some omega-3s for your heart. You're going to get some vitamin A and some minerals and some proteins. You're going to get what your body was made for, because this is what you were made to eat. He says to us to come. Come. Don't spend your money on stuff that don't satisfy you. Come and sit down and have this meal that I prepared for you, because this child is what you were born for. And so as I'm going through this message, I think I've always told y'all that whenever God gives me a message, he first gives it to me. And so this message has been working in me now for several months. And so as I'm going through this, Lord, I said, you know, when I look at this message, I see and hear salvation. That if I look at every footnote that's attached to these top four verses, it all points to Jesus. That Jesus is who we were made for, and he's the center of our lives, and you got to eat and drink of him. He talks about the woman at the well. He said, lady, if you knew of this water that I'm talking about, you ain't never going to thirst no more. He says that those that hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. So all this is talking about salvation. And so I say, Lord, well, I'm already saved, but you've given me this word. So you got to show me what you want to do with this. Like, so what does this mean for me? Because I'm already a Christian. And even as I thought about ministering it today, I said, Lord, there are going to be Christians there. You never want to preach a word that people can't apply to their lives. Because how many of you know that God don't talk just to talk? When God talks, he expects us to take it and apply it to our lives. And so I'm like, well, Lord, what is it that you want the people to know, or what is it that you want me to know? And so God took me back to verse 2. And so I'm reading. It says, why do you spend your money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? And when I got to that word satisfy, it leaped off the page, or what we call a rhema word. And so I went and I looked it up and I said, okay, well, satisfy in the Greek is the word saba, and it means enough, it means sufficiently, and it means full. And that's when the Lord asked me the question, Sabrina, what are you hungry and thirsty for? And I thought to myself, like, Lord, I hear you talking to me, but I don't really know, you know, what to do with that. And then he began to open up my understanding that, yes, I do know him. But way too many times, just knowing him has not been enough to satisfy me. Oh my God. And I was like, Lord, see, the thing that y'all don't understand is that there was a season in my life where I lived in a lot of bondage. There were things that were glaring at everybody else, but I just couldn't see them. And since that time that God has brought me out of so much bondage, whenever he's speaking to me, I want to hear, because I am still believing that he's redeeming that time that I have lost. I'm not trying to lose no more. So if you're speaking, Lord, I want to hear so I can obey. And I'm like, well, Lord, you know, like, help me understand that. So he says there too many times, I haven't been enough just to satisfy you. And then he gave me this example. He said, like, with affirmation. See, everybody has a need for affirmation. Every human being, you have a need to just know that you're okay. Just like hunger, every human being has a basic need to eat. But it's up to you what you fill it with. When your belly is hungry, it's up to you what you're going to put in it. And your appetite determines that. And so for me, my need for affirmation had manifested itself in an appetite of people pleasing. See, what I would do is, instead of taking what God is saying, who I am and what I am and what I am to do, I would instead go to you. And I need you to tell me who I am and what I am and what I am to do. So what I was doing was, I was coming to a person to get a need met that only God should be able to meet. And the problem with that, y'all, is that people are here today and they're going tomorrow. Now, remember, they did this with Jesus. One end of the week, they're saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. And before the week is over, they like, crucify him, crucify him. Now, every human being needs human beings. That's why God made us a relational people. But you can't make your dessert your main course. You just can't do that, because you was not made to eat a whole lemon meringue pie, Sabrina. You were supposed to have some roasting potatoes on the front end, and then some salad, and then have a little bit of lemon meringue pie for the dessert, but not for the main course. And then, Lord, I said to him, well, Lord, I understand that. You know, I see the fact that that really is true in my life, God. Well, then what's my solution? So if that's what you're saying to me, and I know it, I thought I had worked on that, but I could see how, yeah, that's still very much the case. When I get ready to get up here and pray, there are way too many times that I'm more concerned about how I come across than making sure that what I'm saying is truly what God has said to me. That's a people problem. And so God wants to get that out of me, because it is for him that I live. And everything I do needs to be for an audience of one. I can't make you my meal. It's nice, but y'all can't be the cake. You got to stay the sprinkles. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. And so I began to understand that, you know, God took me to this whole concept of salvation. See, the good thing is that in our salvation, not only do we get our eternity taken care of, but you got your everyday life taken care of. Because Jesus said that he came to give you life, and life more abundantly. And so I said, well, Lord, I already know that. So then why don't I do that? If I know it, then why don't I do it? He said, that's easy. You ain't full enough of me. See, what you're doing, you eating, but you ain't eating enough of me. And I understand that there's another analogy that he gave me. He talks to me in word pictures. Y'all know that means that's because I'm special, so. But when I was in the clinic seeing patients, I generally worked in areas where there were, where I worked with a lot of indigent patients, so patients who were uninsured. And those kinds of facilities tend to have a lot of patients, tends to be walk-in and it'll be crowded. And so what I've learned to do is, during the times that I'm trying to see patients, there's so many patients, you don't have time to eat lunch. And so I developed this habit of snacking. So I may have some fruit, some nuts, some berries, what I call tree food, rabbit food, and that's what I would eat, because it would take the edge off your hunger. It gives you enough energy, and then you can finish your day. Well, I've been a PA for 22 years, and I was in the clinic for about 15. Over that time, I developed a habit. And even to this day, that's how I eat. When I get hungry, even right now, well, not right now, but in my car, I got some nuts. I might have some berries. I might have some cheese. I always have snacks with me because I have disciplined myself that way. That is an appetite. And even to this day, that's how I eat. But here's the thing. I'm getting older. And I'm beginning to recognize that at the end of my day, I don't have no energy left. Because what I'll do is I'll eat those nuts and berries and I'll forego a meal. But Sabrina, you was made to eat a meal. You can't live on nuts and berries. Nuts and berries are good, but they are not enough. And so I could see that in my life that what God is saying to me is that you're not full enough of me to be satisfied with me alone. You've disciplined yourself. You've developed an appetite that is a little bit of me and it's a little bit of people. This word tells me that I'm okay, but I go and then I need to supplement that with a little bit of something else from you to tell me that I'm okay. So then I said to Lord, well, then, Lord, I get that. That makes a lot of sense to me. Well, then tell me then, how do I eat? What do I do to get full? Then he says, that's easy, Sabrina. You got to eat. And so I said, Lord, that makes a lot of sense. I just appreciate that. But see, I thought I was eating. Well, he says, baby, you got to eat in proportion with who you are. So you walking around eating like you, your grandson, right? He's a year and a half and his stomach is smaller than your stomach. And so you can't go around eating baby food and sucking them pouches because see, you was made to go and sit down somewhere and eat you some roast and some potatoes. You gotta eat a meal that's appropriate for you. See, here's the thing. God says to us that he spread a table before us. Each of us got a table. And on this table, he says, you can delight in the richest affairs. He's prepared it for you, Rebecca, because he knows that's what you need. And what I've been doing is the table is here. So what I do is I come up and I say, Lord, this enough. This all I'ma take. This all I need. I don't need that much more because, Lord, you know I'm watching my weight. And if I eat too much, God is going to be a problem. He says, well, Sabrina, eat, but you need to go exercise. But see, I keep trying to do it my way. He says, Sabrina, I got this table for you. And I say, Lord, I understand, but right now I don't have time to do all that. I'm trying to go do this, and I'm trying to go that. And he says, Sabrina, I got this table. And what I'm calling you to do is eat your full of me. Because that way you get your center right. You were made for me. You weren't made for this, and you weren't made for that, and you weren't made for her, and you weren't made for him. You were made for me. And the only way you're going to really know that is you got to make this your meal. You got to make the word of God, which tells you who you are, and it tells you who he is, and it tells you what he's doing, and it tells you what he's up to. You got to make this your whole meal. You got to get full of this first. And then if you have any room left, you can go and get you a little bit of that lemon meringue pie. But you got to make this your meal. And I want to take you to a passage of scripture. It's Psalm chapter 19. Because what I have purpose to do now, when I was a younger person, when I was in college, I used to make a practice of memorizing scripture. And I recognize that I've gotten away from that. And so I have committed to the Lord to go back to that practice because this is the word of God. This is how he intends to feed us, is through his word. So go with me to Psalm 19, and we're going to start reading at verse 7. And it tells you of the beauty of what this word is. See, God already thought about this thing. He already took some time and figured it out. He planned our whole lives out, and he knows how best is going to be for us to live it. And so he says here in Psalm 19 about this law, about his book. He says, the law of the Lord is perfect. It converts the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. It makes the wise simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure. It enlightens the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean. It endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true, and they are righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. Yes, much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey. And the honeycomb. See, God has intended for us to make meals and to spend our time in this word. And so, Lord, I said, you know, I need something more practical, because the truth is, if you feed yourself the right food, you begin to develop an appetite for it. I don't know if any of you have ever eaten that bag of potato chips, and then all of a sudden, all you want are potato chips. Well, the same thing happens if you begin to feed yourself right. Then you will begin to desire the right things. And so when I started to think about those issues that I may have in your life, and maybe you got them in your life, the way we've got to come to Him is to go to His word for it. For instance, I have struggled a lot with fear. But how about this? The book of Isaiah, verse 41, chapter 10, it says, "Fear not, for I am with you. I have called you by name." And he says, "I will never leave you or forsake you. I am with you. I will strengthen you. I will help you. And I will uphold you with your righteous right hand." There was a time when I was a single mom trying to lead my children, and I can remember the insecurities that I had. Like, Lord, first of all, they're boys and I'm a girl. And so trying to raise them in their teenage years was really a struggle for me. There was a scripture that he gave me. It was Isaiah, I want to say it's 42 and 16. And it says, "I will lead the blind by a way they have not known before. Along the unfamiliar paths will I guide them. I will make darkness light to them and the crooked places straight. That's what I will do for them, declares the Lord." And so for you, I don't know what your issue is today, but I'm here to tell you that God sends this invitation for you to come. You ain't got to eat them happy meals no more. He has spread a table before you, and God wants to be the whole meal that you spend your life partaking of. All you got to do is just come. Amen.